The organization of the war effort proceeded apace. Changes were made in the government, and my grandfather continued to cultivate warm relations with President Roosevelt. The most significant outcome from that during these early months of the war was Lend-Lease, which provided Britain with immense amounts of supplies and munitions. Finally, there was the beginning of the long and bitter desert war in North Africa. At first, this was between British and Italian forces. Despite being heavily outnumbered, we went from victory to victory. The Fleet Air Arm inflicted heavy losses on the Italian fleet at its anchorage at Taranto, and in the new year of 1941, the Italian army suffered a heavy defeat at the Battle of Barani. There were still many hardships and disasters to come, but my grandfather could rightly proclaim of Britain during these months, alone, but upborne by every generous heartbeat of mankind, we had defied the tyrant in the height of his triumph.
Now at last, the slowly gathered, long pent-up fury of the storm broke upon us. 4 or 5 millions of men met each other in the first shock of the most merciless of all the wars of which record has been kept. In giving an account of my stewardship, and in telling the tale of the famous National Coalition Government, it is my first duty to make plain the scale and force of the contribution which Great Britain and her empire, whom danger only united more tensely, made to what eventually became the common cause of so many states and nations. I do this with no desire to make invidious comparisons, or rouse purposeless rivalries with our greatest ally, the United States, to whom we owe immeasurable and enduring gratitude. But it is to the combined interest of the English-speaking world that the magnitude of the British war-making effort should be known and realized. Till the arrival in Normandy in the autumn of 1944 of the great mass of the American army, we had always the right to speak at least as an equal, and usually as the predominant partner in every theater of war except the Pacific and the Australasian. And this remains also true, up to the time mentioned, of the aggregation of all divisions in all theatres for any given month. From July 1944, the fighting front of the United States, as represented by divisions in contact with the enemy, became increasingly predominant, and so continued, mounting and triumphant, till the final victory 10 months later. Another comparison which I have made shows that the British and Empire sacrifice in loss of life was even greater than that of our valiant ally. The British total dead and missing presumed dead of the armed forces amounted to 303,240, to which should be added over 109,000 from the Dominions, India, and the colonies, a total of over 412,240. This figure does not include 60,500 civilians killed in the air raids on the United Kingdom, nor the losses of our merchant navy and fishermen, which amounted to about 30,000. Against this figure, the United States mourn the deaths in the Army and Air Force, the Navy, Marines, and Coast Guard of 322,188. On the seas, the United States naturally bore almost the entire weight of the war in the Pacific, and the decisive battles which they fought near Midway Island, at Guadalcanal, and in the Coral Sea in 1942 gained for them the whole initiative in the vast ocean domain, and opened to them the assault of all the Japanese conquests, and eventually of Japan herself. The American Navy could not at the same time carry the main burden in the Atlantic and the Mediterranean. Here again, it is a duty to set down the facts. Out of 781 German and 85 Italian U-boats destroyed in the European theater, the Atlantic and Indian Oceans, 594 were accounted for by British Sea and Air Forces, who also disposed of all the German battleships, cruisers, and destroyers, besides destroying or capturing the whole Italian fleet. In the air, superb efforts were made by the United States to come into action, but up till the end of 1943, the British discharge of bombs upon Germany had in the aggregate exceeded by 8 tons to 1 those cast from American machines by day or night. And it was only in the spring of 1944 that the preponderance of discharge was achieved by the United States.